As Adolf Hitler's darkness rose in Germany, most were sound asleep. They had their homes, their restaurants, their shops, their jobs. Life was normal, except a great darkness was about to sweep away their lives and their land. So it is today. We have our shopping malls, our restaurants, our houses, our jobs, but a great darkness has come into our land. We're about to be swept away to destruction. Welcome to Living Water. I'm Pastor Ray Greenlee, and in the studio I have with me Freddie Bafuca, a graduate student from MIT in Boston, Massachusetts. Freddie's undergraduate degree is in electrical engineering and computer science. His graduate degree will be in computer science, or to be more exact, artificial intelligence. Freddie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You have consistently, over the years I've known you, demonstrated an absolute commitment to walk with Jesus Christ without any compromise. And so I'd like to go back to the very beginning and ask you, how did you come to know Jesus Christ?
Around when I was 10 years old, I began to question and to really ask if there was more than what I knew. The Lord just started moving upon my heart, and suddenly I became aware of my sins. I knew I was doing certain things that were wrong. I was not disciplined in class, but I got good grades, so there were no incentives to stop. And so
yes.
I kept on going my way. But more and more conviction of the fact that I was lost came over me, and I didn't know what to do about it, nor who to talk to. And one evening, I was laying in bed. I still don't remember if I was awake or asleep, but I saw that I was in a dungeon underground, and on top of me was a little opening with some iron bars. And through it, I saw someone standing at ground level looking through the opening, and it was this big being in sparkling white, just shining. And I was used to the Bible, I assumed that was an angel, and he looked at me and said, "My friend, don't you realize that you're bound?" And at that moment, it just clicked into my mind, and I said, "Wow, yes, I am bound." And I tried to jump and shake that iron gate out so I could get out, but I couldn't. And then I woke up. A few days after that, the Lord happened to provide somebody who shared with me the gospel, told me that I was lost, separated from the Lord because of my sin, and asked me to surrender my life to Christ, and I did. That was on a Sunday. On Monday, I went to school. I was in fourth grade, and I had a group of friends that I used to cause trouble with, and I was their ringleader. I brought them in our courtyard. Our mascot was a turtle. So in the courtyard, we had kind of a big sink with a turtle that hung in there, and there was water flowing in it. I brought the guys there. I say, "Hey, I gave my life to Jesus yesterday, so I'm no longer into all this troublemaking, and behold, I washed my hand." I don't remember why I did that nor where I got that from, but I washed my hand, and lo and behold, the next guy in the group say, "Well, I'm also not into it. I'm washing my hands too." And so he did, and so did the next guy, and so on. And so that's how the group ended. And looking back on it, I've always thought that that was my first sermon and the first revival I saw. For a while then, I was kind of trying to follow Jesus and also trying to follow the world at the same time. And I wasn't happy, and this is what I've realized. Many Christians are very frustrated and confused, and they can enjoy their Christian life because they're trying hard to hang on to Jesus with one hand and hang on to the things of the world. I didn't fall into any gross sin or anything, but I was enjoying the music of the world, the entertainments of the world, lusting after the things of the world. And that made walking with Jesus not pleasing. In fact, it's impossible. At one point, you have to follow one or the other.
And so you had to come to that place where you finally made a decision.
Yes.
What brought you to a new understanding of who Jesus was?
We were in a foreign country, and I started yearning for a deeper walk with the Lord. I somehow knew there was something more that the Lord was calling me to, that there was something more to the Christian life, and this could not be it. And again, I was yearning for the Lord, but I didn't know who to talk to, nor where to turn. That went on actually for a couple of years, and we finally found ourselves in a foreign country. We were in transit to the United States, and there, miraculously, the Lord provided a group of believers that we met, and I saw in them something, and that was exactly what I wanted. They were following Jesus with all their heart, and someone gave me a book called Discipleship at Any Cost. I took it that evening, and in it, the book basically talks about the fact that Jesus, the Bible says in John that Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you obey my commandments, then you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So according to that verse, Jesus is not just looking for people who believe in him, but he's looking for people who obey his commandments and are therefore his disciples. And I therefore saw that I had believed in Jesus, but I had not been obeying the Lord's commands and living under his lordship. And so if you just believe, the devil also believes that Jesus is the Christ, but he does not obey his commandment and is not his disciple. And the author went on to say that therefore the Christian life is about laying down your own will, laying down your ambition, laying down everything that you have, and completely surrendering to the Lord's will. And I'd never heard the Christian message put in those terms before. And I remember sitting down and struggling with that piece of the message. And I finally had to realize, well, this is the truth. And if this is the truth, then I'll follow it. And by the grace of God, I yielded to the Lord then.
Freddie, what would you say to a person, a listener, who says to you, "But wait a minute, Freddie, the gift of salvation is by faith, and it's free, and it does not include that I have to obey Jesus. I'm saved whether I obey him or not. All I'll miss out are some rewards."
That is not the gospel of Christ. The salvation is free in the sense that you do not deserve it. It's as if I were to go to the street and you found a homeless man and you invite him into your home. It's a completely free offer. He does not have to pay anything for it and does not deserve it. But you tell him that once he comes into your house, he has to take off his dirty clothes and put on the clothes that you give him. So entering into your house is free, but it will require him to leave behind all the junk he's gathered through his life. And so the offer of salvation is free. However, when we accept it, we are agreeing with the Lord to leave aside our sins and to live it, walk in obedience with him.
So the picture I get in my mind now, Freddie, from what you've described, would be a person who says, "Yes, I want to come in." Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to spend the next 20 years trying to rip this coat off my back.
Yes, and that cannot happen, fortunately.
So how is the coat removed?
The coat is removed by faith. We do not work ourselves up into holy people. Jesus Christ is the Savior and Jesus Christ is the Sanctifier. And we receive both gifts by faith through the grace of God.
I like to look at it in terms of when Jesus was walking on the water, that was really an expression of who God was. That was the glory of God that was being seen. And Peter said, "Can I step out and join you?"
Right.
So he steps out and he now is walking on the water.
Right.
He accepted the invitation, the command of Jesus to come walk on the water.
Right.
But now he begins to sink. He can't rescue himself, though.
Right.
But Jesus reaches out and draws him up.
Right.
By the power of Jesus, not by the power of Peter.
Right.
So, for those of you listening, let's be very clear together. Salvation is a completely free gift. It is by faith.
Yes.
We are regenerated by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a free gift.
Yes.
We are made holy as a free gift of grace. Mm-hmm. We are sanctified as a free gift of grace. We are empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit as a free gift of grace.
Yes. both the salvation and the freedom from sin are gifts of grace through faith.
We don't have to work hard at that.
No, we do not.
We simply have to die out to our old life and say, I'm finished with that old way of life.
Yes, and where there has been sin, it's not that the sin has been too strong to overcome, but it has been that the individuals have not been willing to cooperate with the Lord to lay aside their sin. They have not been willing to lay hold of it by faith, either because they love their sin or because somehow they're giving excuses for their sin. But once a man really says that, you know, I want to follow Jesus and I want this sin gone, and they simply turn to the Lord by faith, the Lord is faithful to take it away.
One of the ways we know that we've been saved or regenerated is we have the ability to say no to sin.
Yes.
If you do not have the ability to say no to your sin, you've never been converted or regenerated.
Yes, one thing that we've been speaking about a lot in Boston is that John says that the commands of God are not hard for us because whoever believes in Jesus Christ overcomes the world. And this is the power that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if you are in Jesus, you must have the power to overcome the world.
We'll be right back after this break.
Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee would like to invite you to visit our website, livingwaterradio.com, where you can find out more about the National Prayer Chapel and its beliefs. Also, you may download free copies of the messages you have heard on this station. Living Water Radio is a call to revival in our nation's capital. Please join us as we pray for conviction of sin and for judgment unto repentance. Again, we're at livingwaterradio.com.
We welcome back in the second half Freddie Bafuca. He's a student, a graduate student at MIT. Freddie, MIT is the best of the best. Talk to me about MIT.
I can give you an example that will illustrate the general story of state of what MIT is like. A friend of mine, Sam, he's now a graduate student doing his PhD in computer science in AI also, and was an undergrad there. Very smart guy, just like everybody else at MIT. But he was lost, not a Christian, drank, did drugs, lived in fornication, as lots of other people do, and just not believing anything. At some point, he began to come at one of the Bible studies I was holding, and where I spoke about sin, and presented the gospel and the grace of God. And he gave his life to Christ just a little over a year ago. His life changed. He stopped sinning. At least he stopped with his old ways. His family saw the change in his life. He was no longer doing the drinking, no longer running after girls, and no longer doing any of those things. Coming to prayer meetings, reading his Bible, and going out to evangelize with us. His parents were kind of shocked at the change, and they persecuted him very hard. And at some point, they had him committed to a mental hospital for about a week. He had no choice but had to be there.
They had him put in a mental hospital because he became a follower of Jesus.
Yes, because he became a follower of Jesus, and his dad could not just stand the fact that his son, whom he raised to believe in evolution, was suddenly saying that he follows Jesus and was sharing the gospel with them. So it was just the culmination of a long stretch of persecution. In fact, it's been common. Many of the students in our group, if not all of them, have been somehow persecuted by their families because they've been following Jesus in the way that we do.
So what happened with Sam?
Well, he was there after a week. The two psychiatrists took care of him. One of them was a Jewish man. And at the end, the psychiatrist said that he had absolutely no problem. He was normal. The only thing that he recommended to him was that he saw that was a bit abnormal, was that he was very kind and loving to his parents while they were being abusive towards him in their language. And the psychiatrist found that to be very abnormal, but We praise the Lord for it.
Now, you say this in a very relaxed way, but I remember some phone calls from you during this time, and you were not being casual or laid back.
No, not at all. I mean, the parents even tried to get me into a lot of trouble with MIT. They made phone calls to high-ranking deans, and they called people around, and I even heard of other ways that they were trying to get me into trouble outside MIT. But the Lord stood with us in every way. So at the hospital, they said that Sam was fine. They found nothing wrong with him. In fact, the psychiatrist told him, I'll tell you the truth, your parents are the ones that need help. At school, I was summoned by a dean to his office, and he asked me what was going on. But he did some research, and everyone in the institute gave a good report about Sam, about me, and...
This could have blocked you from entering graduate school at MIT.
Yes, the dean told me that he would not support my coming back to school this past fall of 2006 if it was verified that I was leading students into some, you know, unhealthy behaviors, which was the accusation that their parents brought.
That following Jesus is an unhealthy behavior.
Yeah, it is unhealthy in the sense that by the world's view of health, for them, healthy is living in sin. For us, healthy is walking right with God. It's living in holiness.
So the majority of those on MIT's campus are not following Jesus Christ. In fact, they're totally secular.
Yes, they are totally secular. You would think that where people are so smart, they would not be sinning as much, but that's actually not true. People do drugs.
But you have a student center on campus for Christian activity, right?
We do.
And what happens there?
There's a lot of Christian meetings. We even used to meet there, too. We were essentially kicked out. There's a lot of activities going there.
Why were you kicked out?
The message that we've been preaching has not been... It's interesting. The message we've been preaching has been well received by the world. The sinners know we're saying the truth, but a lot of the Christians have been very disturbed by what we're saying, especially those ranking high in the religious ladder. It's been troubling people's consciences, and those who know that they're compromising, that they're not preaching the truth, are afraid that the message we preach will reach students.
Freddie, specifically now, what is the message that you preach?
We preach that a Christian is a person who lives in holiness and is not worldly. We preach that by the grace of God we're forgiven as we spoke. But once we receive that grace by faith, the proof is that we walk in holiness. But that's not a welcoming message for a lot of Christians, because many, as I was saying earlier, want to say that they walk with Jesus but walk with the world at the same time. And when you say that you have to have one or the other, that just causes a lot of stir.
And so one of the chaplains you shared with me contacted you.
Yes, one of the chaplains summoned me. And
In fact, a chaplain from the Assemblies of God.
Yes, it was. I mean, he basically told me that there are certain things that are creed, there are certain things that are doctrines, and there are certain things that just preference. That is, a Christian can choose to go to some activities that are ungodly, and there are many of those happening on MIT's campus, and you ought not to say that a Christian should not do these things because it's their preference.
For example,
there are ungodly dance shows that are put on every semester. A lot of the Christians partake in it, and even one of the most dirty pieces I've never been there, but people who told me who weren't there, one of the pieces was choreographed by a Christian. Several well-known Christians have been part of it. And when we speak about the gospel and about being separate from the world, those who do those things, their consciences are bothered. Their leaders want them to keep coming to their groups, give them a message that eases their consciences and tells them it's okay, you can still be a Christian and still partake in it. But no, you can't. As we said, he who is of Christ overcomes the world.
So some of these dance shows are very immoral.
They are extremely immoral, and they do not pretend about it. And I heard that one of the opening phrases to one of them was that there will be sexually explicit themes throughout this performance. Just try to find out what they are. There'll be curse words. And the introducer said one person who went there told me that she just was in hell. It was demonic. And so she, in fact, to use the explicit term, she said it looked like the performers were having sex on stage, and she said that particular performance was choreographed by a Christian. So the message that we preach, it causes a lot of uneasiness in some people, and so as a result, we've faced some opposition from the religious community, some people in the religious community. So a few people have supported us, but those have been the exception that have stood with us very firmly and have been encouraging us in what we've been doing. But
Freddie, part of what you're saying to me today is that there are pastors, mm-hmm. chaplains, mm-hmm. spiritual leaders who come to MIT's campus to evangelize, and their method or their means of evangelization is to compromise with the world.
It was so, you know, since the days that Charles Finney came to Boston, and it seems like it's still so today, Christians are usually afraid to confront people with the straight message. The popular way to win the world is don't be confrontational, just water it down a little bit so everybody can fit in. If you just preach such a strong message of holiness, then nobody is going to come to your meeting and nobody is going to want to listen to you. That's been what I've heard.
So part of your struggle is God has sent you to this campus, the best of the best and the brightest people around technologically, mm-hmm. has sent you to this campus to get an undergraduate degree and now a graduate degree, mm-hmm. and yet to serve him in that place.
Yes. I knew from the time I was going there that the Lord had called me there, not first of all to get a degree, but to proclaim a straight word of God, not sparing, proclaiming the message of repentance that, as Paul said, that everywhere he went, he preached that people must turn to God by repentance, to Jesus Christ by faith, and prove their new life by their works. And that's what I've been preaching and doing.
Now, Freddie, if you were going to come on this campus and be successful in Christian evangelism, mm-hmm. what's necessary?
What I know is necessary is for me to be on my face, seeking the Lord, walking in holiness. There is just one thing that the Lord has shown this to me clearly that will touch the hearts of these young people and bring them to Christ, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit must come upon us for real. And only that power can bring the lost to Christ, can cause the dead to hear the word of God, turn away from their sins, receive Jesus Christ in their hearts, and walk as true disciples. And so our cry in our group has been, Lord, fill us with your power, give us your power, and that's what we've been praying and seeking the Lord about.
So I ask you today, how is it with you and Jesus? Do you need to wake up and search after Jesus Christ? Have you been compromising? Are you willing to hear this call to turn aside from your sin and by the grace of Jesus Christ, yes. be made holy, yes. in the likeness of Jesus? We've been talking with Freddie Bafuca, a graduate student in computer science at MIT in Boston, Massachusetts. Freddie, with a group of other students, has now founded a new Christian church at MIT. Please pray that the honest word of the gospel of Jesus will be accepted and obeyed at MIT.
Thank you, Pastor. Now let's return with a closing thought on today's message.
Freddie Bafuca has been my guest today, graduate student from MIT. Freddie, how can people learn more about your ministry outreach on campus?
Well, we have a website. You can go to www.cmfi, boston.org. That's www.cmfiboston.org. And you can also contact Pastor Ray or the National Prayer Chapel, and they will know how to get a hold of us.
What do you want to say in the last few minutes to those who are listening?
Well, I'd say that if you're a young person and you are wondering what to do, I want to call you to follow the Lord, to consider following Jesus in a wholehearted manner, no longer to walk in this kind of a way that tries to provide a walk with Jesus with a walk with the world at the same time. I want to call you to wholeheartedly turn to God, to search the scripture. I'm amazed at the young people of the Bible. Joseph was 17 when he said no to Potiphar's wife. David was 17 when he killed Goliath. Daniel was in his teenager when he decided not to defile himself with the king's food. So I'd like to call you to live a life of no defilement, where you say that no matter who comes along with me, no matter if I'm the only person standing up for righteousness, I will walk with the Lord. Even if all other Christians compromise and I'm only one of the few, I will walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in total obedience, being separate unto Him.
So, Freddie, that literally means cutting off the sexual immorality?
Yes, it means cutting off, and we know our sin, cutting off the sexual immorality, the lust after money, the lust after the things of the world. If you're a girl, it means that your dressing should not be like the world. If you're a guy, it means that your time should not be wasted on the internet, on video games, and the rest of the thing. Take your life and give it to the Lord and let Him do something with it. We're living in the most lost generation that has ever lived on the face of the earth. And there is a desperate need for some young people who walk holy enough with the Lord that the power of God can come upon them and they can be used to rescue the rest. And that's been our cry. Lord, make us holy. Let us be holy, that your spirit can come upon us so we can reach out to our friends, not with a compromised gospel, but with the true gospel backed by the power of God that can truly bring salvation to the lost.
And your witnessing power on MIT's campus is based on the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yes.
And that's based on whether or not you've turned aside from sin and walk under this covenant of righteousness.
Yes. In fact, for the last many months, the Lord led us to stop everything since August, in fact, and just to deal with sin. We've done no outreaches to anybody. Sometimes we come to church on Sunday. Rather than having a sermon, we just prayed and cried out to God to deal with our sins. That's the only way that I know, or that the Lord has shown us, by which we can be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Freddie, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, to each of you listening, there's only one path to heaven. It's called the narrow way. It's not the broad path. It's the narrow path. And to enter that path, you have to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Living Water. We trust this message has been a blessing to you. And if you would like a free MP3 copy of today's audio, go to livingwaterradio.com. Click the free audio download tab to select the message, or mail to P.O. Box 2346 Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. That's P.O. Box 2346 Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. And join us again for more Living Water.